classical music, recorded classical music, that is, had what is known as a golden age, and we seem to be in our own golden age of its revival. As technology and scholarship improve, we are surrounded by tantalizing reminders of great, now-deceased musicians who tore through the standard repertoire 50, 60, 70 years ago. We're just beginning to see the first lavish releases from a website called Andante.com, complete with its own record label, with plans to release 60 historical CD sets a year. Arbiter and other small labels continue to release scholarly editions of old recordings, and now a new film on PBS honors and documents violinists of an earlier time. And all of these enterprises send essentially the same message, that this was an era of freedom for the artist, freedom to be an eccentric personal performer, a freedom many feel has long since ended. Alain Coblance, for example. He's a lawyer, music lover, and founder of Andante.com.
So many of these old recordings attest a freshness, a spontaneity that is no longer commonplace.
It's the technology that's in the way.
The process of recording has become so demanding technically. The way the splicing takes place, taking away so much of the genuine inspiration of the interpreter.
The interpreter, that is what the era was about. Whether it was Heifetz at a death-defying tempo, or Ignaz Friedman with astonishing elasticity, subtly changing tempo in every bar of a Chopin nocturne. It's the atmosphere of drama and risk-taking these films and CDs show us.
Performers took great chances when they performed because they didn't have the aura of permanence attached to each performance.
Jed Distler is a contemporary pianist and composer who studies and writes about the early days of recording, especially as it applies to pianists.
You know, if Vladimir Horowitz wanted to try something twice as fast, and it worked, great. And if it didn't work well, got another concert. Because we're so inundated with records, we expect concerts almost to sound like records, and people find ways of playing so that they sound like records, which is a kind of very safe, uniform playing where the rhythm is very regular. There's this very square sense of how the music is to ensure safe edits.
It's almost as if recordings have out-edited themselves. There is a craving now for recordings with idiosyncrasies intact.
Violinists back then had this wonderful sense of not just a beautiful sound, but it was so natural what they did.
The past has a particular meaning to violinist Sarah Chang. She turns 21 next week, and as an even younger violinist, she played with Yehudi Menuhin and Isaac Stern.
Whenever I can get my hands on a live recording of something that somehow got passed through generations and generations, and somehow I got a copy of, I mean, it's truly magical because you think, my goodness, this is why they call it the Golden Age.
So maybe a young performer learns to listen a certain way, and maybe the old style even directly affects performance.
Just this kind of imagination, a sound world that you get from a lot of these players is something that I've always tried to emulate in my own performances.
As for the music lover, there's much to appreciate in the sounds and images of Oistrakh, Zsigeti, Elman, Heifetz, and many others in the new public television film, The Art of Violin. and there is much to listen to in the outpouring of CDs of Golden Age performances.
Certainly, it will educate the public and give them a testimony of what music sounded like when it was really free and authentic and spontaneous, and get us back to a time when going to a concert was an adventure and you weren't really sure what you would hear.
My personal favorite is Oistrakh playing the Brahms concerto, and it is just the closest thing to perfection I've ever heard. I listened to that CD when I was about 8 or 9, when I was learning the Brahms concerto, and I put it away. I put away the Brahms concerto thinking, I better give myself a little more time. And then I only picked it up and played it in public for the very first time when I was 18. So I waited about 10 years before I went on stage with it. I was so influenced by that one recording, and it gave me something to strive for.
I think David Oistrakh said, I know I'll never sound as good as my records.
But that was a secret only he knew. For the rest of us, these recordings, films, and preservations of our musical history are our resources. Right now, it seems very much as if the music world is mining them for some eternal truths about performance that may help a fragile classical music business find its way. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.